Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Author James Geary is passionate about puns and metaphors and just about any kind of wordplay. He was a kid when he picked up Reader's Digest and spotted an aphorism for the very first time.
And I still remember it. I was 8 years old. The difference between a rut and a grave is the depth. I wasn't quite sure what it meant, but I knew that there was something special going on.
So special that Geary is now something of a scholar in the art of wit. He says wit is the basic operating principle of human creativity. In ancient times, there was such a thing as competitive riddling. Shakespeare loved puns, as did Sigmund Freud and even Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, there's one story about Abraham Lincoln who was asked to suspend the sentence of someone who had been committed for the death penalty. And Abraham Lincoln said, if I don't suspend his sentence tonight, he will surely be suspended tomorrow.
And how about the one about tea and coffee?
Yeah, so he's walking down the street with, I think it was Secretary of State William Seward, and Seward happened to see a sign, T.R. Strong, which was some kind of shop or proprietor of something, and Abraham Lincoln said, aha, T.R. Strong, but coffee is stronger.
James Geary came out with a book this month on the art of wit, with plenty of samples and his take on what makes it work. It's called Wit's End.
Wit is kind of combining things from different fields, bringing different things together and making something new out of it.
That's the mind-bending part of it.
Because
you're finding things on different planes and putting them together.
Yeah, exactly. And that's basically what the human mind does. And there's one chapter in the book where I talk about puns as the highest form of wit, and puns are typically considered to be the lowest form of wit. But what's happening in your mind when you make a pun is you have two words, they sound the same, but they have different meanings, and you bring them together in a way that's surprisingly relevant, and that gives you the shock of laughter and delight and surprise. When you make a pun, you're performing that activity, but the person who gets the pun, who's listening to the pun, performs exactly the same activity. So it's the same creative work. The person who is listening to the pun is making the same connections as the person who made the pun in real time. So they're both being equally witty. And so what I think is one of the great things about wit is that it's a kind of natural creativity that we all have.
And it's a great way to feel a connection. I mean, you're talking about Abraham Lincoln, to feel a connection like, wow, he thought that way and I'm thinking that way.
Yeah, exactly. And creates a kind of intimacy with your audience. The person who gets the joke or gets the pun is a sort of accomplice of the person who makes the joke or makes the pun.
So it's not like delivering a joke from a stage.
No, not at all.
In this way, there's a synchronicity.
Yeah, there's a synchronicity, and you kind of involve the listener or the audience in what's going on in your mind, and you're there inhabiting that joke together.
Geary says you can find different kinds of wit in different facets of life. So he writes various chapters of the book in the distinct styles to match the kind of wit he's talking about. He writes of verbal repartee as a piece of drama, his study of jokes as a barroom monologue. And there's more.
There's a chapter on how wit works in the brain, and that's written in the style of a scientific paper. And the chapter looks like a scientific paper.
Can I ask you to read, this is on page 39, table 1 of this scientific chapter called Selected Jokes and Puns Presented by Case 1.
Yes. So this is, there's an actual medical condition known as Witzelsucht, which is a kind of compulsion to make bad puns. And it's an actual condition, has to do with brain damage.
Are you kidding?
No. Would I kid you about a thing like that? No, it's a real condition, and people actually suffer from it. And so I've compiled, just like you do in a scientific paper, they often have these tables and graphs and things like that. And so this chapter has one, and these are some of the puns in this table. What's the last thing that goes through an insect's mind when it hits a windshield? Its butt. What do you get when you cut a comedian in two? A halfwit. What did the proctologist say to his therapist? I deal with all day.
Now, those are funny. You said that in many of these cases, the puns are not good.
But these are the ones I deliberately chose.
I see.
These are
okay.
Not from actual case studies.
Oh, they're
studies.
Not. Okay.
These are, I took a few liberties with
yes,
the scientific.
Yes, all right. Literary license. You have an idea of how wit can be helpful, especially in a time like, I mean, it can be helpful always, but especially in a time like this, where there is such polarization in this country. What's the place for wit?
even in serious times, even in times of crisis, if you're making a witty remark, it makes people, in my view, feel more comfortable and also have more confidence in you as a leader or as a colleague.
Even in a way that's not one-upsmanship.
Exactly, in a way that's not one-upsmanship, because you're showing your vulnerability. And I think that shows a degree of seriousness and engagement that really is the essence of wit.
James Geary, thank you. So nice to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
James Geary's book is called Wit's End: What Wit Is, How It Works, and Why We Need It.